Welcome, everyone, to tonight's episode of Pivotal Change. I'm your host, Ryan Kahn of CS Business Consulting, and we are here to continue our ongoing conversation of talking about leadership, influence, business, entrepreneurship, anybody that has and wants to grow their influence. This is the place for you. On tonight's episode, we have Olga Hurtado, a good friend of mine and the owner of Neat Books. She has a wonderful story, incredible wisdom and advice, and has grown a little $12,000 bookkeeping firm into an advisory $1 million plus monster of an industry, and she's still growing up and to the right. She's going to bring a lot of wisdom to us, and we're going to have a great conversation prepared for you. So get your pen and paper out and get ready to take some notes. Olga, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me again. Nice to see you again.
My pleasure, and my pleasure, because I'm going to take my notes. I got my pen ready as well, because you always have some serious nuggets of wisdom that everyone can take away. So I like to really just jump into things, get going with the episode, and we're talking about something that's pretty important to most of us. Any entrepreneur wants to continue to further their ability to serve their clients, to scale, to increase bandwidth, do those things. But sometimes we lose control in various areas. So I want to talk about scaling without losing control of the numbers. So let's go with question number one. How do you help clients really just stay financially grounded while they're growing?
Well, Ryan, I think the best tip that we can give the clients and help them in this situation, in these situations, is that we help them slow down, okay, financially. Because when you grow without a financial grounding, that could become a trap for you and your business. So when you build systems that provide that visibility and predictability with automated bookkeeping and, you know, and clear monthly financial reports and strategic cash flow planning, that helps you. Those tools help you organize not only your numbers, but they give you as a business owner a peace of mind and a power to make decisions. So we always tell our clients, you're not just building your business, you need to build a financial machine, because that financial machine needs to be well oiled. And that is extremely important when you have a business.
I like that a lot, saying building a financial machine for you to then keep well oiled with your team. That's pretty good. So if I don't have my financial machine in place, or it's a clunky one that's not very efficient and well-tracked, what's the danger? Like, if I'm going to go ahead and scale and I want to keep doing more, but I don't have that financial structure, well, what dangers do I look at?
Well, basically, when you don't have the right basis for your business, you're going to crumble down like right away. So that financial machine that you built is because you need to start building your business basis. And that's how you grow. Every machine that is not well oiled is going to get rusted, is going to get broken. So keep that in mind when you are starting your business, because you are building a machine regardless of the type of industry you're in. So that is, I think, when people understand how important financials are in your business, they will actually get very successful easily. When they don't do that, that's when they, you know, go bankrupt, or they start asking themselves, like, why don't I have enough money for my profits and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think people can oftentimes look at their bank account and say, well, I'm doing really well, or I'm not doing well at all. And either way, it could be quite the opposite in real life. And you mentioned about, you know, building that machine, the basics, so that you can grow quickly, or we don't want to scale too quickly, I'm going to slow you down. And for some reason, that threw the image of speed chess, you know, in Central Park, all those guys sit there and play speed chess. I can imagine being a brand new player to the game of chess and then sitting down and trying to play speed chess. You're trying to do too much, move too fast, and all you're going to do is make errors that ultimately cost you pieces of material. I just want to bring that up because it randomly came into my head. So when you're doing that, you want to, in the game of chess, also be looking forward several moves. And I talked to somebody that said, if you can just look three moves into the future accurately, you can beat 99% of people in chess. So as a business, we want to forecast. We want to look into the future. But is that just for the big boys and girls, or is that for everybody, small businesses included?
Everyone. Like, this is something that everybody has to set up. Like, you need to see your business as a game, okay? And you need to play carefully. If you don't do it, then you're going to get, you know, you're going to be left behind. And you don't want to do that. Okay. So you need to put your pieces on places, on the right places. It's like putting yourself a puzzle together. You start with the pieces and you start like putting the pieces together. It's the same thing. So for businesses, people think that for businesses, you need like a magic wand. That's not it. Okay, you need the right strategy. And for your financials, it's the same thing. You need the right strategy since day one.
I like that. So forecasting, what does forecasting do first? Let's say someone in our audience is a young or early entrepreneur, their business is small and they have the vision to grow it. What's the benefit of forecasting? What does it do for them in their decision making, their budgeting, et cetera?
Well, basically forecasting what it gives you, and it's very simple as this, Ryan. It gives you visibility. Okay. You can get that like vision board of your business. People love about vision boards, talking about vision boards. So that's what forecasting gives you. It provides you the visibility and gives you some estimates that you can predict what is going to happen with your business. It's not going to be 100% accurate, but at least if you zoom out your business, it's going to give you a hint of what's going to happen if this something happened, because we're talking about scenarios. What's the worst case scenario for your business? What is the best case scenario for your business? So that's what the forecasting gives you.
I love it. So it gives you the ability to predict with decent certain accuracy what the future holds. Now, again, you could always have some natural disaster or a COVID pops up. Nobody's predicting that. But from the ebbs and flows of daily life and what happens in your industry, here's my worst case scenario I need to prepare for, and here's my best case scenario I need to be ready to grab a hold of. So forecasting is pivotal for growth. Thank you for that. So part of businesses and getting a hold of their financial structure and having the ability to forecast would be to have clean books. And usually professional bookkeepers are the ones that keep your books clean. How does hiring a professional bookkeeper save you money in the long run? Because it can be a fairly expensive service depending on where you are and what your needs are.
Well, basically, if you see the bookkeeper as the person who keeps your books, you're wasting money. Okay? So you need to see your bookkeeper as the first line of your defense against any financial inefficiency that you have in your business. So bookkeepers can help you catch mistakes before they cost you more money. They can help you track deductible expenses that you might overlook for your tax returns. Okay? People, here in the United States get worried about that too much. So bookkeepers help you that with that. Also, they ensure compliance and they help you organize your data. So if you work with the CPA doesn't spend a lot of hours reviewing, and you're gonna get like a huge bill at the end of the tax return preparation because your bookkeeper helped you throughout the year keep those finances organized. But not only that, Ryan, the bookkeeper gives you back time. Because when you open a business, you're opening a business for prosperity. And people sometimes get the prosperity like, oh, it's because I have money. No, prosperity is because you have time to do the things you love while you have a business, while you're running a business. So your time as a business owner is very valuable. So when you hire a bookkeeper, it's basically you're buying back time for you.
I love that so much, the buying back time for you. So there's all kinds of resources in life. And all the resources you can always get more of. So if you spend your money, it's technically okay. You can always make more money, right?
Right.
If you need to have more clay to form pots, you can always go get more clay. Time's the one you never get back. That's the resource that you can't get more of. And so having a bookkeeper. One, I love that you said they're your first line of defense. They're going to catch the errors. They're going to keep you in compliance. They're going to let you know, like, hey, money's getting tight. You tripled your inventory and now you're short on cash, right? Your
Right.
bookkeeper is going to be the one ringing the bell saying, hey, please pay attention. And I think having that person in your corner as a business owner is great. I also loved your statement that says if you're looking at your bookkeeper just as an expense, just as somebody keeps your books organized by itself, which is a benefit, but by itself, you're probably getting your money's worth. And you definitely don't want a CPA fixing your books at the end of the year when it's tax time, because that's going to be even more expensive. So the return on investment with that value of your time, so you can go into your prosperity or drive back into your business for your highest and best use, you did a great job pointing that out. So before we cut to commercial break here, what are some signs that tell us it's time to invest in a better or different financial system?
Well, the first question that every business owner asked me, where did my money go? I had this amount of profit in my profit and loss, and I don't have enough money in my bank account. So that's when you realize that this client needs a better financial system. Because sometimes financials, you know, is they're not only like the reports you get from your bookkeeper or your CPA. It's having money in your bank account to do everything you want to do for your business, but also to get your profits and pay yourself back.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Where did my money go? If you're starting to scratch your head about the financial health of your bank account, or you do have a P&L and balance sheet that are, but you don't know how to read it and translate it, that's a really good time to upgrade your system or upgrade your services with it, with an expert and somebody that does exactly what you do. So those are really excellent, great points. So I'm going to stick a pin in the conversation. We're going to cut to commercial break, and we're going to jump on to our next topic here and keep this ball rolling. So everyone sit tight, keep those pens ready. We'll be back with more Olga and more Pivotal Change right after this. We are back with more Pivotal Change after that brief break, and we have more Olga Hurtado, who has been talking with us about financial systems, financial security, and the ability to have an understanding and a comprehensive plan. We even talked about having bookkeepers and people that help you do more than just keep you organized, but give you your first warning signs, your first defense, and of course, all the knowledge and power you need to make the proper financial systems and decisions in your company. So Olga, welcome back from the break. And we're going to jump right into talking a little bit about the entrepreneur's life and how they work with family and things like that. So I want to go first personal into your life and how you accomplish some things. So you're running a company and you've been rapidly expanding that company. We've had other conversations where I know how successful and how much you dedicate to your business, but how do you balance that? How do you work all that in with being a mother and a Latina leader and inspiring people both culturally and on the family side and through the employer side?
It's very difficult. But to be honest, it's more like an integration, okay? I'm who I am. Like, I don't separate my roles as mother, as wife, as CEO. Like, I with them together and I integrate them in my life. And I know I have built this business where I can show up as a Latina, as a mother of twin, as a woman with big dreams. But some days I just want to wear sneakers while helping my daughters doing something that they love. Okay. And that's okay. That's my success, because my success is having the time to be spent with my family, with my husband, with them, with my mom. So I don't think it's about doing it all. It's about doing what matters with you present.
I like you talking about you being present. And let me ask you a question about your family. Have you ever had passionate conversations with your family? Have they ever witnessed a client interaction or a client phone call and seen your face light up as you're giving the advice or helping solve an issue for a client? And then in some way it stirred on a conversation with a family member?
Sure, definitely. This happens a lot.
Yeah, and did they see mom maybe in a little different light when that happens? Or do they see the wife in a little bit different light? We're like, wow, I just watched her kick butt and do something amazing. Does that bring a different harmony to your life on how you, I am who I am was your statement. And they get to see the whole version of you possibly.
Yes. And you know what funny is? My daughters, they love the fact that when I'm in a conversation or I'm in a meeting, they're always my priority. So during the pandemic, it was funny because when they come to me, I was like, hold on one second, I need to talk to my daughters. And they were like, oh my God, mom, you're in a super important meeting, but you still have the time to talk to me. So they understand how important my job is, but they also know that they are the most important thing in my life.
Right. I love that. I do this little thing with my clients where I say it tongue in cheek, but it's also true. Like if my wife calls, I have kind of a default message where it's, I'm in a meeting. Do you need me to take this? And they'll answer yes or no. So they know I'm going to take the call if they need me to. And then every once in a while, I'll just answer it real quick. And I'll tell people, I'll say, hey, sorry, this is my wife calling. I got to take this. She's more important than you. And then I'll walk out of the room and come back and like, sorry, that was the real boss lady. I'm nothing. This is the one here. And she'll do similar certain things for me. But I think that redefines how people see you, and actually most people desperately appreciate and look for business owners that are going to do that. They're not just money hungry. They're not just looking to grow and get more clients, more power and stuff like that. So that's a good way for you to emphasize the family. And I appreciate you sharing that, where they know they're the priority even over work. Let's talk culture. I'm huge into embracing culture. I love different cultures. Sometimes I think I annoy people by asking them so much about their culture and trying to consume. But how does your culture play a role in like how you lead and how you serve?
Well, I think it's the foundation of my leadership, because we as Latinos, we are like full of vibrant and colorful, and our personalities go above and beyond extroverts. Not only that, we also try to make things work, even if we have limited resources. We are very resourceful people. So I think it's the superpower that we have, and I think everyone has it. But the fact that we need to like try to fitting in a culture that is not ours, it brings a lot more of our own culture in it. So work ethic, resilience, all that, because we came here to this country, we're building businesses and we behave well. We try to do things right. So I think that's a part of the leadership that me as a Latina, I take it as my huge flag that I raise, like, hey, I'm here, I'm doing things right, I'm providing for this community, and my background is what brings me here, and that's part of how I lead, how I serve, and I'm extremely grateful in this country for that. So that, being a Latina is being very extrovert. Because we sing a lot, we play music, very loud, but that gives us like a little spicy in our business and in our way of leadership.
Hey, I like that. And I think one thing that's really fun is I study leadership a lot. That's one of my most passionate things, is that anybody can be a powerful, successful leader, but there are certain characteristics that make it just a little easier or a little more likely. And charismatic, extroverted type people have a slightly easier path to be impactful leaders. And so I think you leaning into your culture, saying, hey, I'm naturally charismatic by culture, by raising, I'm naturally, extroverted and meeting new people, that's going to draw people into you. And you're like you said, playing onto your superpower. And I think every different culture has some type of different skill set or superpower they can lean into. And I feel like you're encouraging people to lean into that cultural superpower, whatever their culture may be.
Right.
I love it. So let's talk still about that family and that work life. I like to call it harmony instead of balance, because if you're balancing, you're on a tightrope and you might fall off. But if you're in harmony, you're just ebbing and flowing through life. So let's talk about setting up boundaries. You got your life, you got business, and they do need to be separated at some point. Like, how do you get clients to either have them created by you or create them with you so that you can have that life and business and be in harmony and have a little more peace than the average entrepreneur?
Well, I think when you build systems that clients understand boundaries, and that with those in systems that you implement, the business doesn't depend on your presence 24/7. Okay. So creating boundaries is creating systems. And that includes automation, delegation, creating financial structures that supports them. Because a business that steals your time, it's not a dream. It's basically a jail. Okay. So you need to understand that type of boundaries with your clients. You are not a money-making machine 24/7. You need to sleep. You need to have time with your family. So you need to understand that since day one. If you keep answering emails after 5:30 or 6 p.m., they're gonna get used to it. And
I love it.
And after you do that, you're not going to be able to stop it. So don't do it since day one.
Yeah, I'll show you a funny story because it sounds like you're kind of redefining a little bit of like what success should be. Success should not be you're the entrepreneur that works around the clock and tries to make money 24/7. That'll wear you out quick. But we do something that we call the all access fee. So we have clients on different scales of services and dollar amounts that we charge them. Some of them extremely high amounts for extremely highly valuable service, and some people are starting. And if somebody gets to the point where they keep trying to call or text or work around those boundaries, we'll just have a conversation that says, hey, it looks like it's really important to you to have like 24-hour access to us. I will give you it's called the 24-hour access key. I will give you the key is what it's called. I said, but understand, on top of everything else we do you, it costs make $2,000 a month extra. And I will answer my phone every day of the year, 24/7, does not matter. Christmas and my wife, the anniversary with my wife, do not count. So I will not answer the phone on Christmas and I won't do it on my anniversary. Other than that, you just pay me an extra $20,000 a month, $24,000. I guess if it's a big boy client, it might be $5,000, right? I said, whatever is so uncomfortable, they'll never pay it. And what I just did is I care about you. I want you to give you this opportunity, but this is a huge boundary that you're going to have to pay something you're unwilling to pay for. And then they have established a boundary. We do that kind of, again, tongue in cheek, a little fun, but I love how you're wanting to help redefine success for that. So tell me a little bit more about redefining success for entrepreneurs and their families.
Well, the traditional definitions of success, they don't include like family dinners, mental health, being there for your kids. Like redefining success means choosing wholeness over hustle. So for many of us, especially women and immigrants, success has to make room for our values. So we work with clients to design financial strategies, but they also that they can that it can support the life they actually want. Because it doesn't matter about the numbers. You can be filthy rich, but if you don't have the right time to be with your kids or your family, nothing is worth it. Like all the sacrifices you did, all the burnout you felt, nothing. It's not worth it. Okay? So redefining success is so important for me that I always tell my clients that, like, hey, you need to take a vacation. Okay? I've seen you and I see your face and you look tired. Have you taken a vacation lately?
Yeah, I usually need
See,
a vacation from the vacation with, especially when my kids were younger, but that's a different story. But yeah, I appreciate you looking at a client in the eyes and say, take a break. Take a break. You're ruining success. You're chasing the wrong definition. And I can appreciate that. So learning lessons by working with clients, having to test your own resiliency, leaning into your cultural background, give us a one or two prominent lessons you've learned real quick before we reach the halfway point.
Well, life doesn't always go according to the plan.
That's for sure.
Okay. So we can always create a new plan. So don't stick to the plan. I was talking to someone 2 days ago, and I was telling that person, listen, we're not stones. We're not Stonehenge. Okay. We're people. We move. So if your business is having some trouble, then move, find solutions. Don't stay there. Okay. And it's the same thing as at the personal level. So resilience to me is another word that it's about, like from your background that you have learned, what is the resilience to you? Because being a business owner, you have to be very resilient because you
Yes.
are going to have ups and downs. No, it's not a straight line. Okay. And you're going to feel bad sometimes. And that's how you like from the financial abundance that you're going to have. You're gonna have to stop, think, and make the right decisions.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I definitely appreciate you looking to people to reach into their background, reach into their experiences, and never be unwilling to create a new plan. It's a great spot for us to hit a little timeout for being halfway through the episode. Everyone, stay tuned. We're going to continue this great conversation after this commercial break. Pivotal changes back past the halfway point, and we are still rocking and rolling with Olga Hurtado. We are having wonderful conversations. We just rolled off the conversation about leaning into your culture, about how to have that more work-life harmony and be able to set expectations and boundaries through good systems, and then being who you are in all aspects of your leadership, both business and at home, and then redefining success. And she talked about the time off, the family dinners, the mental health, the freedom of stress. And that's a great definition of success instead of a dollar sign or a sports car or a big house. And I appreciated that a lot. So as our entrepreneurs continue to fight their battles every day, there's always a lot of fear. You had talked about right before we cut off the break about going with the ups and downs and being able to create a new plan. But there's a lot of fear and people are worried about making a money mistake, or they have made a money mistake and don't want to repeat it. So just tell me, why do so many people just carry shame around having made some of these money mistakes?
Ryan, because money is emotional. And people tie that to security and self-worth. And we think the financial mistakes mean we are irresponsible. But basically, when you make a money mistake, you are learning from it, and it's only information. It's a sign that something needs attention. So if you keep, if you are stuck thinking about the money mistake you made, then you're gonna stay there. But if you start like asking yourself, get curious about why and how and what for did you make that mistake, then that will set you free and you will understand what's the right path you need to follow. So you don't make that mistake again.
I like that a lot. So you have basically two choices: is you can make a mistake, which I've made them, you've made them, we're going to make more, and you can either look at that mistake and be afraid of it and say, "Oh, I'm never going to try that again," or you can learn and adapt from what you did, and then go ahead and make the same maneuver but mistake-free because you used wisdom and maybe some mentorship and leaning into other people. Just makes you think about like playing the game of football, American football. Where somebody runs a play around the corner and they get hit real hard and the ball gets fumbled and they didn't run quite far enough or they didn't take their juke move right. So they reevaluate the play and they can either never run that play again and now the defense doesn't have to worry about it and you're limited in what you can do, or you make your adaptation, you get to the corner the way you're supposed to, and you score the touchdown and you win the game. So that's pretty interesting to have you diagnose that for us. Let's talk about some mistakes, though. Tell us a story or give us an example of like one big mistake that you've seen and kind of tell us what it was. And of course, how did that person recover?
Well, I think the biggest mistake people made was uncover during the pandemic. Okay? Because business owners never realize how important it is to have a working capital, a savings account for your business, being prepared, for rainy days. So when the pandemic hit, as I think I mentioned to you before, like everyone shut down, like, oh my God, we don't have enough money. They were running around like, oh my God, we don't have enough money. So how did they recover from that? Okay, they had to go to the loans that the government was issuing, but also they had to understand that having a cushion in your business was not like a luxury, it's a need. Okay. So if another pandemic hits, let's imagine, just imagine another pandemic hits. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna be in the same position that you were in 2020? Or is the 2025 version of you ready for that pandemic? If you're
Oh,
gonna, you see, if you're gonna be in the same position as 2020, you learn nothing. And I think it happened to all of us. So ask yourself that question. I'm in that same position. I'm making that same mistake, or did I learn something? Am I ready for another pandemic? Am I ready for rainy days? So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we are making right now as business owners. We learn nothing.
yeah, we'll just keep on keeping on, and we don't learn from our mistakes. So I have these collaboration of collection of quotes that I've either said and I'm halfway clever, or I've stolen from other people who are usually much more clever than me. And one of the ones I use in law enforcement, this is a fool will never learn from their mistakes. The average person will learn from their mistakes, but the truly wise person will learn from the mistakes of others. So what she is saying to everyone in the audience is that you got to be learning from your mistakes. You actually need to look at them and evaluate them and then make adaptations to how you do business. And you need to store away more acorns in case the next pandemic comes or the next critical thing happens. Most people recommend 3 months worth of being, you could not make another dollar as of right now. And you can run both your business and your life for 3 months fully based on the cash capital that you're reserving. That's a minimum. You need to have, I would say, 6 months or more
Of
in
course.
reserve, ready to pull off. So again, how long did COVID last? That lasted almost 1 solid year, maybe a year and some change in some places based on the government restrictions. So take her advice, everyone. Adapt your plan, learn from your mistakes, write them down, evaluate, use other people to come in and help you make those decisions and then make the adaptations and move forward. So let's talk about some of the failures. You talked about the failures of the pandemic. What's a great way for somebody to look at like a low point, a bad decision or a hard time, and then turn that to a learning opportunity?
Well, there's something I learned from my husband recently, and I didn't think about it, okay, until I was like, wow. He told me, you need to zoom out. And I was like, yes. And you need to zoom out for everything, not only for, for your personal life. In your business, you need to do zoom out. You need to find, the financial low point is not the full story, it's only a chapter of your business. Okay, so we encourage clients to study, okay, why did this happen to me? They need to identify the root cause and they need to make decisions from that clarity. Okay, so my biggest advice, zoom out everything. Our biggest financial pain becomes the push that we need to become better business owners. So don't let make that money mistake define you. It'll help you refine you.
I like it. Don't let it define you. It should refine you. And I like the zoom out. So you just talked about, I'm going to flip this around on you. You just talked about examining that mistake, that financial low point. Zoom out. The low point wasn't the cause. Look at the total picture of what led to that. What about the opposite, Olga? What if I'm at the height that I've ever been? Am I just blaming it on that one or two good sales, or am I zooming out and looking at all the systems, all the culture, all the people, all the relationships that led to this high point? And then how do I adapt to make my higher point even higher?
It's the exact, it's like reverse engineer.
That's exactly right. Reverse engineer your success and engineer based off your failures.
But it's
So,
the
okay.
same thing, Ryan. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Is
No,
the
interrupt away.
same thing as processes. When you do something good and it hits you, you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna replicate this process all over again and again and again and again. That's how you build a business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. And your emphasis on documenting that so it can be replicated is huge. That's where a lot of people fail. They do something right and then they know how to do it and they try to replicate, but they don't do it so they can mentor and delegate to others. So let's talk about those mistakes. Let's go back onto the dark side for a second. Business owners, they're bearing the entire mantle of leadership in most cases, in most entrepreneur positions. And if we've made some type of like error or issue that's caused us a lot of trouble, there's a mindset where, man, it just may get me in a rut and I may stay in a rut. How do you help business owners see the path forward or just at least forgive themselves so they can move on?
Well, I think when they come to us, it's something they come with a pain. Okay, we have this pain. And they define success in a different way as we do. Okay, because for them, success is something linear. Oh, I
Right.
did this and it's linear. But it is not. Like, failure is part of your journey. And you need to stop beating yourself up just because of that. You have to start building again, and you need to understand that success is not linear. It has ups and downs, and being compassionate about yourself is not a weakness, but you don't need to stay there forever. Like, oh, poor me, poor me. No, okay, poor me one day, the next day, okay, I wake up and I do it and I focus and I do what I need to do. So it allows you to show up for your team, for your vision, for yourself. So the mindset that you have while you're having a problem is not going to be the mindset that you're going to have when you are successful. But you need to understand both sides of the coin. Okay?
Yep. I think that goes back right again to zoom out on your own life, zoom out on your own mindset. You may be in this pit, this spot right now, but that's not going to be your mindset a year from now, a month from now, maybe probably hopefully a week from now. You can shift that mindset. Just zoom out on your mindset and your attitude as well. So I think you're starting to really cross some lines of wisdom here and really help people thread things together. Right, real quick before we got to cut to another break, we're always up against the clock. I want to talk about being smart and safe. We want to build our business smart and safe, and back to the financial side of things. So hopefully we minimize the amount of mistakes we make. What's one of the best ways to build a business that's smart and safe?
Systems, Ryan. You need to create systems. Systems protect your money, protect your mindset, and protect your business. Listen to me. My dad, when he was the business owner in Colombia, everything was in his mind. Everything.
Right.
But then he had this accident, everything crumbled, and the business stopped. He didn't have a system. He didn't create a system to protect his money, to protect his mindset. So if you think about building a business that is for you, then you have a convenience store that is, just like for a neighborhood. But if you're actually building a business that is both smart and safe, that's when systems and SOPs and tax planning and expense tracking and controlling, that's when you have a business.
I love it. Yep, that's it. The systems is the key. If you are the business, everything's contained in your head, then one, you can't delegate, and two, if something happens to you, the business fails. You have to get the business out of your head and into other people. So, great place for us to stop. We're going to be rolling into our final segment of the evening right after this message. So, stay tuned, and you're going to get a big finish in just a moment. We are back after that commercial break with more Pivotal Change and more Olga Hurtado. I know that you've been enjoying her because I certainly have. We've been talking about all kinds of things about financial systems. We even talked a little bit about people making mistakes and having shame, how to adjust their mindsets and move forward, and just really letting business owners forgive themselves, knowing that they're human, they can and will make more mistakes, and being able to build a system that makes your business both smart and safe. And so, Olga, we're going to move on to something that's actually pretty exciting. If you guys don't know this, you should have hopefully figured out by now. She's a wonderful storyteller, extremely articulate, and she has decided to start her own show. The show will be called The Secret Ingredient. So, Olga's new show is going to be really fantastic. And I want you to tell us a little bit about what's going to go in the show, because there's some type of inspiration that happened here, and I want to hear the inspiration.
Of course. Ryan, I got inspired because of a movie called The Kung Fu Panda. And this movie, it is like a really good movie for people to watch because it's actually your secret ingredient. He had no love about himself, but he did it. So we are always, as business owners, looking at other business owners and, oh, look, his grass is greener on the other side. You know what I mean? But actually, you are the secret ingredient when you are building a business. So stop looking at that side, look at yourself, look at what you have, what your skills are, and that's how I got inspired.
I love it. So one of the things that people probably don't know is that this is going to be a bilingual programming TV show. So you're going to be leaning into your culture once again. This will be on Now Media TV, all of the same resources that you get for Pivotal Change and many of the other wonderful shows on this network. And you're going to be joining the team and really rocking and rolling forward. I know how successful you're going to be.
Thank
The
you, Ryan.
problems that you're going to be solving for your audience are going to be really, really wonderful. What kind of stories and things are you going to be highlighting on the TV show to give people a little teaser, a little taste of it?
Well, entrepreneurs who have turned their pain into power. And that's their secret ingredient. These are going to be stories that are raw, full of wisdom. So we're going to humanize that part of the business. Because sometimes you are so fearful of doing things for your business and you don't know where to go. And you just scroll, 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 scroll in social media,
Right.
finding the right answers. And actually, the right answer is always within you. Like, oh, your intuition gives you the direction to maneuver your business. So that's how we build businesses. We don't do it because someone tells us to do something or to do it some way. We do it because we have the intuition to do it.
I love it. And I love how you're going to be highlighting the emotional side. You're going to have guests that are going to be, like you just said, turn pain into power. And there's a lot of stories out there. And I think connecting people, just seeing that you're not alone, there's other people like you. And I'll be honest with you, there's nothing super special about that guy or that gal or whatever. They're just like you, but they've had either just the right encouragement or the ability to just say, I'm going to take the risk. And they moved forward. And you are just like them. There's very little that makes somebody just truly unique and special. While we're all different and unique in our own ways, we all possess the power to overcome our pain and get onto the stuff. And so that secret ingredient, you're going to help us unlock that, keep moving down our path to success. So do you have any guests that you're going to be showcasing, or at least types of guests that you're going to be showcasing on the front end that's going to help us, empower ourselves, maybe speak to the next generation, anything like that?
Yes, of course. Like, this is how the way that we're going to inspire people is that how they overcome their own doubts. Because when you are an entrepreneur, you doubt yourself a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And you find your secret ingredient within you. And that's how you like make yourself permission to progress. So that's how we're gonna show. That's who are we gonna showcase in our show, and we're also gonna showcase women that are extremely successful, and they know exactly how they came from way below, and not only women. Of course, we're gonna be also talking to men, but this is how you understand, and basically it's Spanish. So how Latino entrepreneurs are building something spectacular in this country. And
I like that.
we're building businesses to help this country grow. And that's also a focus because we are also a part of the secret ingredient of this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of our secret ingredients for at least the United States, is that we have diversity, we embrace it, and we use that to drive us forward. And if we can get a specific niche like Latino entrepreneurs to blow themselves up and make themselves as big and influential as possible, America is greater for it. If we can get any of these categories, if we can get the next generation to embrace things like you have embraced, we're going to be better for it. So I appreciate you taking on this endeavor. That's going to be very fun to watch. That's going to be very fun to just enjoy the success trail overall and hear what your people and your guests have to say. The secret ingredient. So, one thing, and this is just me telling a story from my childhood, that was a secret ingredient that really impacted me from a movie is people may or may not. There's an old movie called Willow. And Willow comes from a village of little people, and he gets sent on a grand journey. Not too dissimilar from like the Lord of the Rings, but there is a sage or the head, medicine man type of guy, and he challenges everybody that wants to be a wizard. And he holds up his hand, and he says, which hand is the magic in? And so as each person in the room guesses which finger the magic is, he shakes his head and he lays the finger down, And they're all sitting here waiting to make the selection. And Willow is the only person that realizes that the magic is in this finger. I'm the magic. I'm the secret ingredient. And as a child, I saw that and said, everybody else is looking for something external to be the
Exactly.
magic. But the magic is really inside of you. And I think you're going to draw my childhood inspiration out in your TV show. So a little selfishness in the excitement I have for your TV show to come in. So tell us a little bit about, you're going to be empowering women, which I do. I have an office almost fully of women. I think women are more important than men. That's just my biased belief. Most people disagree. I think women are precious. They're more important than men. We need to take care of them and empower them every way we can. I have 17 employees and I have four guys. So I have 13 women that work.
Amazing.
And I'm a huge believer. I've got two daughters that I'm empowering to the best of my ability. So I'm excited to hear the results on that. But I want to hear about your belief, about the secret ingredient that you believe most people overlook. Because success is a journey. What are we overlooking on our journey down the path of success that we're missing with our own secret ingredient?
Our stories. People don't understand how their own story make their own secret ingredient for everything they do. Because everything that you have done in the past in your story is what has made you what who you are right now. So when we underestimate the power of our own experiences, that's why I'm telling you, you're always looking at social media and looking at people, and that's the generation that we're, raising right now. They're always looking at someone else. I want to look like that person. But what about my story? What about what I have done through day? Okay. And I think the story is not the weakness, it's a strategy. You need to leverage yourself and your business with your story, because that's how you're going to get successful. That's what is going to get you to rediscover your secret ingredient and even refine your secret ingredient. So my mission is to help, women and men to say it out loud. I'm proud of my story. This is who I am. This is how I did it. It's not that you're gonna do it the same. It's that my story is gonna inspire you to do the same. Find your own secret ingredient.
I like that so much. The kind of a little bit in closing thoughts here. And I may have one more quick question for you, but your story is what makes you unique. But it's also what makes you connect and cross paths with others. If I could say, hey, I one time visited Pikes Peak and I hiked to the top of Pikes Peak, that makes me a little bit different than most people. But on the same token, somebody else that has hiked Pikes Peak, we now have an instant bond, right? So there's a dichotomy with your story is that it separates you from the rest, but it also connects you to other people. And if you can hook and anchor into your story, and the connections and the differences of who you are, I think you're gonna have a lot of success. So I'm eager to hear. I know a good bit about your secret ingredient from having known you over the last several months, but I'm eager to hear more about your secret ingredient. So I want to just maybe take 30 seconds or so, and you just tell us a little piece of your story that that makes you connected to the audience, if you can, or completely different than the audience that makes you stand out.
Well, I think my secret ingredient for my business, okay? Not for my personal life, for my business. I think it has been my authenticity. It's been me all along. And I can be me anywhere. And I'm talking to you, Ryan, and it's the same me that I'm talking to a client or a waitress or anyone else. So being authentic is being my secret ingredient. And that's what has, driven other clients to come to me because they feel connected. They feel like, oh, I'm their friend. So I think that's my secret ingredient. I don't know, but that's what I think,
You're
and
authentic
I'm
and genuine.
authentic.
Yeah. I love that so much. Olga, thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to wish you the best of success on your new show. And if people wanted to get a hold of you and they wanted to get your advice, use your services, how do they find you?
Thank you, Ryan. We have a business, a website is www.needbooksllc.com, and we also have an email address, customersuccess@needbooksllc.com. That's my accounting firm. So if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. To the audience out there, take all of the lessons you learned from tonight, and I want you to go out into the world and I want you to see the change and be the change. And we'll catch you right here next time on Pivotal Change.